You're listening to the Canned Air Podcast, your sidekick in the quest for knowledge, power, and entertainment. So strap yourselves in and prepare for victory!
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And returning to the show, our friend from all the way across the pond, who is the writer of the comic Geek Girl, we welcome back Sam Johnson. Sam, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you back. And we're going to have fun today, because in our normal episodes as of late, what we've been doing is covering pop culture through the decades. So we've already done the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and boy, it's time for one of my favorites, the 90s.
Yeah.
Easiest remembered and easy to reference because we were all there.
Why it's my favorite. I'm not sure. Do you mind me asking how old you are, Sam?
I'm 45.
Okay, so then the 90s ought to be pretty fresh for you, right?
Pretty fresh, pretty fresh.
We'll take it. Awesome, awesome. Then a comic vault, what do we have to talk about? What do you have, Randy?
I've got a James Bond comic.
Very good. I've got a comic I just picked up on Free Comic Book Day called Hope by Dirk Manning. You remember Dirk Manning?
Yeah.
New project by him, so that'll be cool to talk about. And then we're going to turn our full attention over to Sam and talk about Geek Girl and everything new with that. But before we do all that, don't forget to find us on social media, on Twitter at CannedAirPod, and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like our show, like what we're doing, you want to show us some support, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod. And for $5 a month, you get access to the Patreon-exclusive Canned Air Patreon Pod. A lot of fun, about 20 episodes on there thus far. So if you just can't get enough of us and need more, there's how you do it.
There it is.
Any cons coming up soon?
Not till June, but...
but they're coming.
They're coming, yep. And for the rest of the year, if you use promo code CANDAIR at checkout, you'll get a cool 10% off.
Yeah. And I always say it, but man, that's a big help toward those con purchases. There's a lot of money going into a visit to a con, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Anything else, gentlemen, before we roll on?
If you're on Apple Podcasts, feel free to give us a like and leave us a review. We're going to start reading those off at the end of the episode.
Yeah, and that's going to be a lot of fun to do. It helps so much to get those reviews. The more reviews we get there, then the more likely we are to be seen on those bigger formats. So it's not in vain. It's not just pumping up our ego. It's trying to get us more exposure. And it's a great way to support if you don't have extra money to give our way. You can head over to iTunes, give us that review, and like Randy said, we'll read it on the show. So let that be a little bit of incentive for you. All right, with that behind us, let's kick it off with this week's Retro Round Table.
Hold on to your butts.
Spare no expense.
Excellent.
Okay, gentlemen, the 90s. I am excited for this, but I'm even more excited to hear what Sam's offering is to the table.
Okay.
Kick us off, Sam. What'd you got?
I might be going a bit obscure for you, Emmy, because I don't know if they had much impact in America. Shakespeare's sister.
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Okay. You know Bananarama?
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the girls out of that did this band, Shakespeare's Sister. It was much more sort of gothic and alternative. But Stay was a number one in the UK for 9 weeks. But I guess this is completely lost on you. Anyway, this is on my mind because they were one of my favourite bands, and they've just announced they're coming back. So I'm well into that, and I would recommend, if you like a bit of alternative, their 90s stuff is pretty excellent.
I would like to hear that, actually.
It seems familiar, and the title also seems familiar, so I might have heard it, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Well, that's your homework for after that.
Sing us a couple of lyrics of it.
Sing us a tune, like, Sam.
That'll just put you off, you know.
Music, I mean, in general, in the 90s, what a great thing to touch on. my God, the bands I was into, just thinking back, and the bands that I despised. You know, speaking of bands from then that are coming back, aren't the Spice Girls reuniting?
I think they are, yeah.
God, I hope not.
I mean, what a big staple of the 90s right there in itself.
Shoot, speaking of Bananarama, I believe they have an album coming out too, the local radio station.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Bananarama came back with a tour. Spice Girls, again, in the UK, is big news that they're coming back. But it's the thing with Spice Girls, I mean, first off, they're coming back without Victoria Beckham. So it's missing one component. Not that she was exactly a linchpin in the vocal department, but it's still, you know, it matters. But the thing with Spice Girls, I was into them back in the day, but they're like, of all the CDs I've got, they're just about the only one that never gets dug out. It's like, really, at the time, I loved them, the whole thing. Not the movie, obviously. I never ever feel like, oh, I really need to listen to the Spice Girls again.
No.
What I could listen to? Spice Girls.
No. Well, there's a lot of music, though, like that. You know, I was really big into the time Korn and Limp Bizkit, you know, that kind of stuff. It was at the top of its popularity. And looking, you know, that stuff I can't really go back and replay. You know, occasionally I'll get nostalgic, like, oh, I remember that Limp Bizkit song, and I'll play it. I'm like, oh, this is fucking horrible, you know? I can't do this, but... It's funny, just another stamp on a period of time, you know?
I can't remember if this was 90s or 2000s, and it was a bit of an earworm, but do you guys remember Eiffel 65, the I'm Blue,
Dabba-Dee?
Yes.
That was the end of the 90s. It was, like, right on the edge.
Didn't one of the Iron Man movies open with that song?
Yeah, I think Iron Man...
Two or three.
Three with Extremis, I think?
I don't know.
Because it was a 90s party, maybe?
Yes, you're right. It was a New Year's Eve 90s
party. Yes,
yes. Yeah. Chumbawamba. Anyone remember Chumbawamba?
Oh, that song's great. The hit. And They Might Be Giants did a cover of it, which is one of my favorite covers ever.
They Might Be Giants. That's a good band right there.
Heck yeah, they are.
I enjoy the fuck out of them.
They're fun.
You hear them few and far between, but when you do, man, it brings back a whole bunch.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, I've followed them for a long time. They're still going. I mean, they had two, like, new records out last year, but it's now kind of sort of like they've got their fans and you just, like, go to their site and get it. It's not like, you know, a massive release or anything, but they've, you know, built up a strong fan base that they can do that and keep touring. And, oh, yeah, I mean, Birdass in Your Soul is the absolute classic, but plenty of their stuff I like.
I think anymore, a lot of groups are just mainly just the hardcore fans. It's not like it used to be where a CD was released and everyone was at the music store because of just with the digital media now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I miss those days so much, though. I mean, mind you, it is nice to just wake up and be like, oh, shit, that album's out. Take two steps to the computer, hit buy, and have it. Yeah. But, you know, there was something about, you know, being at the record store when the doors open to get in there and get your copy or have it reserved so you make sure you get it, you know.
Yeah.
You're the cool kid driving around listening to it and nobody else does.
Yeah.
And I do still, you know, it's not always the case that I can get the albums I like on CD, but I really... It's not the same feel to me if you've just got, like, you know, these digital tracks, whereas if you actually have a physical thing with the artwork, I much prefer that. And whenever I can get it that way, I'm still on that.
Yeah, and, you know, like there's a Tom Petty collection out now since he's passed, American Treasure, I think it's called. And I want it really bad because it's got a lot of good stuff on it. But like you're saying, I want to have the hard copy. That's one of the things I want, that hard copy in my hands. I want it. You know, the book to look through and everything.
Yeah.
Sit there and listen, read the lyrics while you're listening to it, laying on the floor with your feet up in the air.
Yeah. I probably would. But you know, it's funny, is it used to be that digital music was cheaper than hard copy, and I'm starting to notice it's gone the other way.
Oh, definitely has gone
the other now.
Way,
yeah. You know, like CDs, maybe $8.99, $9.99, $10, which not everywhere. I mean, if you still go to the back wall of an FYE, they're still trying their $18.99 tactic, and well, it's kind of put them where they are, right? I mean, they're kind of selling trinkety bullshit now just to stay afloat.
Yeah.
merged with Hot
Topic. Some groups are against the digital media, like Tool. They won't do digital stuff. It's only by the hard copy.
AC/DC was like that. Did they finally crumble? I remember the Beatles weren't digital, and AC/DC wasn't digital. And obviously, the Beatles finally crumbled and went that way. But I don't know that AC/DC ever did. I'm not
sure about that either.
I'm about to search iTunes.
I know my father-in-law wanted their new CD probably 3 or 4 years ago, whatever the last one came out.
It's one of those stupid things that, I mean, I get having pride and principles and whatnot, but come on. If you're not going to join the digital age of music Spotify and Pandora, you are going to get left behind. Mm-hmm. I don't care what kind of legacy you have, right?
They must be digital for some aspect, because I have a Pandora station of just AC/DC.
Oh, yeah, they're on here. They're on here. They're all the fuck over here. They're like, okay, get it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. We need money. All right, other things from the 90s other than music. We're going to get back to music, actually. I have a list of 90s grunge band songs for you guys, okay? Some of them are real, some of them aren't. You have to tell me which are real and which aren't. Okay. The loser has to drink this. Oh, my God.
What the hell is that?
This is an Orbitz drink from the 90s. Like, OG from the 90s.
Like, from the 90s.
From the fucking 90s. It's not a reproduction. This is from the 90s. And anyone does not know what this Orbitz drink is, it looks like a bottle of corn syrup with styrofoam balls in it.
It's like a lava lamp with small balls of lava that just float.
Yes, and somebody will be ingesting this who loses. So
great. That was nice knowing you, Jack.
Really think.
20 years past its sell-by date as well.
There's no expiration on it. I sat there and looked at it. So I mean,
it's like nuclear. That shares.
Yeah, no expiration date means it doesn't expire.
What flavor is it?
It should be good. Oh, you know, pineapple, of course.
Pineapple. It's got like 3 or 4 different flavors on it, it said.
It could be coconut. Oh, there is coconut in it. Okay,
it's pineapple, coconut.
I pity the son of a bitch who has to drink this.
Ah, great.
We might want to keep something nearby for vomit.
Definitely,
yeah. Yeah, that doesn't look like it's going to sit well.
Your end game.
You're not throwing up in my end game tin. Fuck you guys. Throw up in the litter box. Yeah. I'll scoop it out. All right. A few big things that happened in the 90s. Number one, the O.J. Simpson murder trial.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but our TV at home did not change from that for like a year and a half.
We didn't watch anything on it.
Nothing?
Yeah, I had no idea anything was going on. I was at my buddy's house, and in their basement was pretty much our play area. That's where all the kids hung out. And I remember going there the one day, and we were downstairs, and his parents were actually down there watching it, and they're like, oh, it's the OJ thing.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Well, I remember the Bronco chase and just thinking how crazy that was. But then, you know, the trial went on over a year. And then I remember being in school. They stopped class and they turned on all the TVs in the room so everyone could see the verdict.
Oh, that's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was nuts. And I've talked to other people about this, and everyone has the same reaction you guys did. So it makes me wonder, like, why the fuck did our school care so much? Yeah. Like, why are we stopping class for this?
That was the biggest news in the town, nothing else going on.
The town has 3 stoplights, right? A gas station. We got to focus on something. But also, aside from O.J. Simpson murder trial, was the death of Princess Diana.
Holy shit.
That was, and I don't care where you are in the world, that was heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was heavy.
Yeah. No, I remember, because obviously I've been in the UK. I came back from the timing of it when it was reported, I think, was about sort of half 2 in the morning here, and we'd just come back from a club, and it was like, you know, you're obviously in quite a sort of mellow / drunken state, and then you come back, switch the TV on, and it's like that. It's like, oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember just staying up watching TV for updates and stuff. Like, I think I was the last one in the family to go to bed that night, but I remember right before I flipped off the TV, like, the guy who was reading the news had been handed a piece of paper. He just glanced at it, and you just saw his, like, face, like, start, like, hanging off of his, like, skull. I was like, oh, she's gone, you know, he immediately read it then. It was so sad. That was so horrible. But, I mean, obviously everyone knows that. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to drag the show down here.
Jeez.
And now for we're going to listen to Elton John's Candle in the Wind. No. What do we have, guys?
Well, there's a kind of running joke here that's come up in a couple of comedy shows about every time a celebrity dies and Elton John redoes Candle in the Wind to celebrity. And there was a sort of parody show about the Year in Review at the end of last year, and there was a TV show called Rainbow, and the main guy off of that had died, a kids' TV show, and they did a reworked version of this. Jeffrey Hayes, I believe his name was, and the standout line thing was, because this is like, you know, from the late 70s, this kids TV show.
Sure.
And the replacement lyric in it was, "I would have liked to have known you, but I was off my head."
Yeah, I would like to hear some more of these parodies. I'm sure there are some more out there, but Randy, you look like you were getting ready to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I pretty much grew up in the 90s. I was born in 87, and video games were a huge part of my life growing up, as I've said before. But if you take a look at the list of the most influential video games ever made, like, a good portion of those are going to be released in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got Doom, Metal Gear Solid, Gran Turismo, Resident Evil, Dance Dance Revolution, Diablo, Baldur's Gate, Myst.
It seemed to be when game developers started to care about the game player's experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, like a lot of Atari games or regular Nintendo games, yeah, there's some good games in there, but there are a lot of them that are just fucking impossible.
Yeah.
And it's just repeating levels versus actual...
Either it's sloppy design or it's just something that you can't get two steps in without dying, and no matter what you do. Like, to beat the game would be a true miracle, a true feat, you know? And we're nowadays... Any game you get, if you're, you know, the least bit determined, you're going to get through it, you know? So.
Yeah, it was like born in the 80s and then refined in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you had the console wars, you had, you know, Super Nintendo going up against Sega Genesis, N64, you know, Zelda Ocarina of Time, Pokemon, that, you know, that hit late 90s. I mean, it was...
N64, the prodigal son. Yeah. Like
local multiplayer, yeah. I mean, it's great. I still play it quite a bit,
yeah.
You know, may have to do a Candy Arcade on that sometime.
On the 64?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Sweet. Yeah.
Very good. Video games. Okay, well, here's something that is kind of silly, but maybe I'm not alone. I was always such a big fan of, like, when the television networks, like the Fox Kids or whatever, or, like, Burger King or whoever had their, like, kids clubs in the 90s. Remember all the different, like, kids clubs, all the different associations?
Oh, yeah.
Shit, yeah. I don't know why. I was never actually even really a member of them officially, but you could still, like, get cool shit from them in the mail. And I just loved it so much, to the point of actually getting, Mike Pollock, he comes from... the Fox Kids. He was the Fox Kids announcer. And
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of this episode, you heard the voice, "You're listening to the Candair podcast." Well, that was the same voice on those after-school cartoons. So you're watching Fox Kids and just your narrator for the four-hour block. And I don't know. It was just so much fun. It's one of my best memories through the 90s growing up, where the after-school blocks of cartoons and the kids' clubs and shit like that. Your blank stares lead me to believe I'm alone here.
No.
Sam, do you guys have anything like that growing up?
Not really. I'm like, as you're talking about it, I'm trying to sort of think, but I can't. I think like kids' TV now is a much bigger thing, like the BBC kids' channels and that. It really wasn't. I mean, obviously you had your big Saturday morning shows and so forth, but there wasn't like wall to wall kids TV. It's really a much, as a kid, you're in, certainly in the UK, in a much better time for it now in terms of the sort of volume of stuff there is now.
Sure.
So yeah, I have no empathy with that whatsoever, Jeremy.
For here in the States, talking about wall-to-wall TV, I remember when Cartoon Network was released here. It's just cartoons all the time, and little, like, I think I was probably about 6 at the time. It just blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always, yeah, definitely right. Anytime you turn on TV, you can always find cartoons if that's what you want to watch. And that's just what made those 3-hour blocks so special, because you had to either have the VCR set or you make sure your ass was in front of that TV to catch your cartoons, or else you're not going to see them again until tomorrow after school.
And those were the babysitters, pretty much, that 4-hour block. Most kids would get home from school.
Yeah.
Cartoons until parents got home at 5.
I remember being so pissed when the bus driver would have to make an extra stop or pick up an extra kid because, you know, that took time away from me getting in front of Batman the Animated Series Spider-Man or X-Men or any of those shows. And if I missed them, boy, especially Batman, boy, did I get mad.
Yeah.
Even a rerun. That was such a good show.
You guys remember Koosh Balls?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big ball of rubber bands for whatever the hell reason.
And if you soak them in water, you ever do that? Put them in water and let them absorb and then throw them at somebody?
No.
They'll hold water for a little bit and it hurts.
Huh. I might have to try that now. Yeah.
Implements of summer fun.
Along those same lines, Toy Max re-released the Creepy Crawlers. You guys remember those?
Those things were awesome.
Yeah, I have one in the basement. Do you really? The
orange one with the green on it?
I've got it. Yep, it's in the basement. I still have the box, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's in any kind of working order. I mean, I don't know if it would probably just be a light bulb replacement.
I think it's just 60 watt or something.
About it. And then you'd have to find that goopy shit that you put in the molds. And
then try not to burn your hand off when you took them out.
It's a miracle. Even in the 90s, you know, they had that kind of shit in the 60s. And I would imagine that an Easy Bake oven or a Creepy Crawler machine claimed a house or two in their time. And then when, you know, I got mine in the 90s and plugged it in, you know, again, this is like a tiny plastic, thin as fuck plastic frame that, you know, if this bulb was in any way out of whack, would easily melt this thing to the floor. It was so hot. And like, even as a small child, I'm like, this is a fire concern, you know.
Just happen to put something maybe flammable in the tray and put it in there and just leave it. And being a kid, of course, you get sidetracked and forget it.
It's amazing to think how much fun I actually had with that thing. Because looking at it now, it's just the simplest piece of crap. I mean, you're just making little rubber
insects. I mean, they had some where you could put like,
I had like a Power Ranger one.
They had like topper ones, I think, too.
No, I never had that. I did see the ones that you could like mold two halves and then stick them together and like have an action figure. But no, I just used them to scare my mother from what I remember. I mean, we had an open loft into the living room and I would make big spiders and dangle them on a fishing line down in their faces and get them pissed and get myself in trouble. But that's why it was fun.
Going back to video games, kind of video game-ish, the Tamagotchi pets.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
I thought that's how Pokemon had originated, but it wasn't. It definitely was its own thing.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, so in Japan, they had, like, capsule monsters, I think, which were, like, you know, like, how we have, like, the little, like, you put a quarter in and it pops out, and there's, like, a guy inside of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you see them at convenience stores. They had something like that, and I think that's where that kind of originated from.
Yeah, you just have to feed and walk and take care of your little pet, and it'll die if you don't, right?
Yeah, forget about it. And
you think anyone out there, like, formed any kind of emotional bond with their little Tamagotchi pet?
Especially little kids.
And, like, to this day is, like, still replacing the batteries. And
who knows?
That thing's still alive. No way.
Trying to bring that ghost back in a seance.
It just comes back in like a digital calculator or something. Like the displays on those things were so horrible, right?
There's still some stuff like this because my girlfriend's into this like factory game, which seems like it's like if you design a game, let's make it as inane as possible. You've got to kind of keep this factory going, and if you like neglect it for too long, it'll all go to seed. And this just baffles me. But she'll be pleased to hear me slagging it off on this show.
But is it an app or is it like a little?
It's an app. Yeah.
I see.
It's like, because like she's not a big like phone person, but this thing keeps getting pulled out to make sure that the Japanese prisoner of war camp. It's not a Japanese prisoner of war camp. It's producing the goods.
Yeah. I've got little apps on my phone like that. The little Tamagotchi things, though, it's just. With the little LCD display on there, like the Tiger games used to have, not even that good. It's so hard to watch. I don't see how you could. But at the same time, you know, when it's all you know, that's the pinnacle of technology.
Yeah. I mean, that was something new then. That was innovative.
Yeah.
The only sound that came out of it was that high-pitched beep from digital watches that anytime someone with a digital watch alarm going off, you just wanted to wring their neck.
And it wasn't just like a little like front facing picture of like a dog or a cat just sitting there looking at you. Like, didn't even do it.
Yeah, they like move their arms or something.
Maybe an ear would animate a little bit.
Yeah.
That was about it, though. It was really nothing. Yeah.
I got another one, guys. You guys remember AOL Instant Messenger?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. I remember my first Instant Messenger was ICQ.
Okay.
And, man, how incredible that was. I'd sit down at the computer and write a message to somebody, and then I'd just sit there and stare.
Yeah. Spending so much time, like, figuring out the perfect screen name. Like, what makes me sound the most badass?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mine was Metallicats.
Nice.
There was this, what was it, Garage Incorporated they did, where they did all the covers.
Oh, yeah.
When you opened up the CD sleeve in, of that CD, there was like a thing where they were all kind of lined up like the Temptations wearing suits behind mics with all their arms up the same way, and it said the Metallicats above it.
That was awesome.
Pretty neat. But
remember the login sound for ICQ was that air horn.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, the idea, the concept of instant messenger doesn't necessarily mean the message is going to be instant. You know,
right. No,
the name kind of misled me. So I would sit there just waiting, like, okay, I see how this works. You just kind of come back at your leisure. Sam, any other things from the 90s you wanted to mention?
Well, I mean, we've got to touch on comics. We've got to touch on your Rob Liefeld, your Deadpool, your Cable.
Oh, my God, yeah. And they're at the, speaking of pinnacle of popularity, I mean, have they ever been bigger than they are within the past year and a half?
No, I mean, I think the Deadpool thing is, why Deadpool has got to where it has, I think has some significant thing to do with what Joe Kelly brought to the character. I think he added different depth and levels to the character that I think you can see in the movie. So, yeah, I mean, Deadpool was a great character, but is a greater character now.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, fleshed out. Speaking of comics in the 90s, you know, it was the John Semper Spider animated series in the 90s that got me into reading comics. And when I got into reading my first Marvel comic, it was during the Clone Saga, which is notoriously bad. Everyone hates the Clone Saga. And I get it. I see why. But, you know, just on Free Comic Book Day a few days ago, I was in the basement and I bought some more issues from that saga because that's where I came in. So I guess that's why I'm kind of nostalgic for it. But, yeah, that's when I think 90s comics, that's exactly where my mind goes. That and Onslaught Takes Manhattan and all the Sentinels and stuff. Mm. That was cool.
The Clone Saga is a funny thing, though, because it was, you know, very much, oh, well, let's pretend that never happened. And then they did bring it back. The Clone Conspiracy was a Spidey thing from a few years ago, and it was decent. But then I bought like all the Clone Saga, but it was, you know, Spider-Man every week, and I was buying a lot of comics, so I didn't actually really read it. So I never did like the whole Ben Reilly thing. So I thought I'd give it a go with this new. There was a new Scarlet Spider series with Peter David writing it. But as I understand it, this character, though it is Ben Reilly, is not really that similar to the original Ben Reilly. He's a kind of a bit of a sort of Deadpool guy, a bit crazy and shit. And so I never really experienced Ben Reilly.
Wasn't there a thing where Kane was kind of written out of the story? Because, I mean, wasn't there was Kane and all of a sudden there wasn't, and there was this new Scarlet Spider. I don't remember the details exactly, but am I mistaken?
Well, it got convoluted, didn't it? Because I think the thing is, though it is remembered as like, or can be remembered as that, initially I don't think it was intended to be a great thing, but it caught on, so they, you know, blew it up. And, you know, at one point, Peter Parker wasn't actually the original Spider-Man. Ben Reilly was, and they got switched in like Amazing Spidey 101 or something. So I think it kind of got out of hand a bit. It's like, oh, this is popular. Let's make Ben Reilly the actual. You forget Peter Parker, that loser. And then, I think they kind of lost control of the ship a bit.
Now that's different from Spider-Man 2099, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
a lot of people had grievances with Ben Reilly, and I get it. But, you know, what he ended up becoming, you know, the Scarlet Spider, I thought was a good character. And I don't think, I don't know. That's just me.
I never got the blue there's
some value in it, definitely. Yeah, they wouldn't have brought it back. As I say, that clone conspiracy was a decent story. I think it's just keeping it. I mean, like the, and again, like of the same sort of era, we had the Maximum Carnage, which, you know, crossed over into the Spy titles, and that got so big that, again, it's like I've just never read them because there were so many of them, and I understood it. It wasn't great. But they're now doing Absolute Carnage, I think it's called, is the upcoming big Marvel event where it's like not Spider-Man, it's been Carnage after everyone. And, you know, that could be good. It just needs to be a bit more constrained. I mean, what I took from, without having read it, just the impression I got, I bought the comics, I had a look at them, the Maximum Carnage thing, it just seemed to be much, much bigger than it needed to be. And if it had been, you know, a small six-issue miniseries, it could have been, you know, a good kick-ass event, but it became a sprawling thing.
No, I agree. Well, I still miss comics of the era. I really do. Like, when I go to the comic book store, I bypass what's out nowadays for the most part. I mean, I'll look at sometimes the IDW wall. I don't know. Just like your big two always seem to let me down. The stories are so shallow, and you just spent $4 for it. Or you can go in the basement and get those old 80s, 90s comics for a dollar each, and they have, you know, they've got story in them. I don't know. That's just
good
me.
Stories, too. Like,
yeah. Thought out stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not like stringing you along, like, you know.
8 pages of just not really much going on in a couple chat bubbles that at the end you're like, I didn't really read anything just now.
I got a stack of free comic books from Free Comic Book Day, you know, and mind you, obviously some of them are a little bit shorter because they're free, but one of them was still, I'm not even going to say its name because I don't want to like throw any shade on anyone, but one of them was like 15, 16 pages, and I stood right here, I picked it up and was like leafing through it, finishing it that quick. I took literally nothing from it, like two or three things happened. So had I bought a book like that, I'd been pretty pissed. Pretty pissed. And I have. I've been in that boat before, where I come home with a $5 book and you're just kind of watching sound effects happen, not reading too much, and the takeaway is nothing comparable to an old comic book. I don't know. Just me.
Ends up being a zero and it's just a big cliffhanger that you're like, well, I don't even know if I want to keep going with this.
Right. All right, a couple quick things here before we move on. I just wanted to mention movies being a big field that we should mention. Jurassic Park, Titanic, Armageddon 3.
Austin Powers,
holy shit.
Ace Ventura.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I know this is probably going to get a little backlash, but the remastered and re-released Star Wars. Remember seeing that in the theaters with my dad?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Same. That was a big deal. I mean, aside from Jedi, I've seen them all in theaters.
Okay. Yep.
The mistake I made with that was, like, obviously there wasn't a great deal added to it, and we watched it on, I guess, I don't know if it was video or DVD, just like right, we watched Star Wars right before we then went to see it, and as much as I love Star Wars, I'm not someone that wants to see things, you know, over and over and over and over again. So, like, having just watched it before, you know, it was built up, Star Wars is coming back, we've added Jabba the Hutt and all this, and it was, for me, painful to get through having just watched it. But that was just my personal experience. I've nothing. Well, the explosion of the Death Star seemed like unnecessarily over the top with what they'd added to it. I don't think the enhancements necessarily added all that much.
No.
But it was good to have them back on the cinema. I made that mistake with Star Wars, watching it right before we were going to see it, but I didn't with the other two, and that was great to see them again in the cinema.
I enjoyed when they put those things in when they weren't the focal point. Like, you know, when there are two people, say, having dialogue on screen and maybe there's a CGI dewback in the background walking across that's maybe blurry that wasn't there before. That's cool. That's adding some depth. But, yeah, when they were doing those scenes that were just focusing on a new scene, they were just forced. Like, even when we were kids, I'm like, well, that seemed kind of stupid. Why was that there?
Just like an extra cut scene in between transitions from different places. Yeah.
The one that sticks out to me is, like, the New Hope with Jabba the Hutt and the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in the Return of the Jedi when Jabba's band's playing, I think they extended it.
Changed that whole act in there.
Just to show off this dancing blue alien. Like, who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? Who cares? But anyway, all right. Well, gentlemen, let me tell you something. This Orbitz here and this and Austin Powers films that you brought up, I think, have something in common. They did not age well.
Oh, boy.
So, let's get to this little game here and see who wins. All right? I don't even know how to do this. Just, I guess, should we flip a coin, see who goes first?
Rock, paper, scissors, Jack.
Okay.
Do it, and then we'll see who goes first in the battle of the... There we are. Jack
paper
wins.
Covers rock.
All right. All right, so I'm going to give you a name, and you have to tell me if it's the actual name or a fictional name of a 90s grunge band, alternative grunge band.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Name number one, Buttcrack Carnage.
No.
You are correct.
The heck were that? Who?
All right. Randy, Bone Love Mother.
True.
I'm afraid not, sir. That is incorrect.
Damn it.
The actual name is Mother Love.
Okay, I was going to say, wait a minute.
Damn it.
Back over to you, Jack. The name of this band is Dickless.
No.
Sorry, that is correct.
Serious?
That's a real band name, yes. That is a real band name.
The hell did they sing?
I don't know. I just looked up 90s bands with obscure names.
I'd like to hear their rejected names before they decided on that one.
Yeah, yeah. That had to be one entertaining list. All right, Randy. Dandelion.
Doesn't sound very grungy, so I'm going to say false.
It was real. It's real,
damn
dude.
It.
I hope you've got a good stomach, Randy.
Shit.
No, the Goo Goo Dolls' first name was the Fuck Buckets.
Really?
They realized that they couldn't use that on a marquee to go anywhere, but yeah.
Come on, guys. I was listening to Eiffel 65 and Creed.
Oh, Creed. I hated Creed. I wouldn't piss on Creed.
I liked them when
they
first came out, and then all of a sudden they got preachy. And
Their first album had a couple good songs.
Yeah, yeah. After that.
Okay, Jack, we're back to you.
What's the score?
Jack has one. So he's ahead of you. He's not drinking the Orbitz as of yet. All right, Jack, Dog Butt.
That's a band name?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess. You tell me.
No?
You got it right.
Oh, jeez.
It's Cat Butt is the real name.
Oh, man.
All right, and then Randy. My Sister's Machine. Was this a real band name or no?
Oh, Jesus. I got a 50-50 chance, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say true.
That is true. You got one.
Yay.
But I'm afraid it's not enough because that's all the questions we have. Jack has two.
Damn.
You have one. Get to chugging that gross shit. Did we get a picture of this? Let me get a picture of this really quick here.
You want to get a video, Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to firing up the old video recorder.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're drinking this shit.
Jesus Christ. Sam, are you familiar with Orbitz?
Not. I mean, you painted a pretty vivid picture.
Yeah. So for the listeners that don't know,
I've got a sense of it. It doesn't sound like something to have at dinner parties.
It literally looks like a bottle of gel deodorant that's like, and the little balls inside are a slightly off white.
Yeah.
Licking your lips yet, Sam?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Little balls of butter floating around in there.
We're just going to say they're butter here.
Man, Jack, come over on this side of him so you don't get the...
All right.
Oh, you're getting too close to me to be drinking that shit.
I'm just going to go to the right here.
Here's the loser drinking the bottle of Orbitz.
Dude, there's four flavors on this. It's pineapple, banana, cherry, coconut.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. All right, here we go. It's room temperature. Thank you for that.
The fizz has worn out since the 90s, I guess.
Oh, man, just smell that.
I don't know. Oh, my God. It smells like a bottle of suntan lotion.
Yeah, go ahead and spill it so I don't have to drink it.
No, don't spill that.
Oh my
shit.
God, it does smell like suntan.
You'll never get that smell out of the carpet if you spill it.
All right.
Oh my God, I want to vomit just watching you.
Oh, the taste isn't horrible, but you get that.
Oh my God.
Oh, those balls, man. That here's the tagline.
Ironically,
those balls.
This wasn't the first time Randy said this line.
All right, here we go.
Balls in your mouth before?
Oh my god. Oh my god, he's down in that shit. Oh my god. Oh.
Oh, that was vile. Oh man.
Oh.
Didn't want to fight back.
Is it staying down?
The flavor isn't bad. It's the feeling of those balls hitting the back of your throat.
I can imagine.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Good job, Randy.
If I die halfway through this, I blame you guys.
If you throw up halfway through this, try to spew back into the bottle. Just not on me or the desk or the mic.
Oh, man.
Would be appreciated.
And somewhere in the rest of the episode, you're just going to hear...
I gotta go to the bathroom, guys.
Oh, feels so good.
I'll see you in a minute.
Oh my god. Woo. How did you like eating those balls, Randy?
Well, they have a very unique flavor, Jeremy.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure
they salty
do.
At all?
All right. All right. Let's move on before I actually vomit here. Let's swing open the door to the comic vault. We only have a couple things here to talk about this week. Randy, did you want to go first with your 007 and see if you can hold down your orbit during your discussion?
Yeah, so I've got a James Bond 007 from Dynamite. Mm-hmm. It's basically a story. It's kind of like you were saying earlier. It's like halfway through a story. Basically, it's just James Bond trying to track down another agent with a couple other secret agents with him. I think it's following like the new continuity because Moneypenny is drawn as she was in the latest revision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a bad read.
Let me see. Can you mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
Roger Moore or
it's almost drawn like the classic James Bond, like how he was depicted.
Well, I don't know. Who would you say that looks like? I don't see any resemblance to any past Bonds, personally.
Yeah, not really.
And I hope they weren't going for resemblance, otherwise I just shattered someone's confidence.
I thought it was like a cross between Roger Moore and what was his name?
Not
the
Dalton.
Newest guy. Yeah, maybe some of him. And who was after?
Brosnan.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. Kind of a cross between those two, I think. Three.
This is a gorgeous comic, though.
Yeah, the looks cool. Artwork is awesome in it.
Very good. James Bond 007. That's Ian Fleming. So I'm going to have to look him up. Very good.
I think that's the creator of 007.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think.
Well, what an ignorant thing to say. All right. Well, the comic I have, where is it? Here it is. Picked up on Free Comic Book Day, and I had to pick this up. It's a Source Point Press title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our past, we've had plenty of them on the show, and they're always good. And this one is done by Dirk Manning, which, as long as we've been doing this show, has kind of been like the local comic celeb down at the comic book store here. He's typically at all the signing events and really nice guy, really cool guy. I can't remember the name of the books. Like
Tales of Mystery.
Of Nightmare or something like that. Was it Mystery? Or
Mystery, yeah.
Okay. Those were really good. Yeah. So when I heard that he had his new book out called Hope, wanted to check it out. Dirk Manning and Kalen Smith do it. This was a generous book to get for a free comic book day because typically, again, you're only getting like a quarter or half of a story to get you hooked into buying it. This was the full story.
Nice.
And I know nothing about her. It just kind of starts with her... Let's see, she's in the vehicle with her husband and her daughter in the back seat. And the husband is just going on a rant about how in the past 5 years, you know, these enhanced people have come forward, made themselves known. Kind of in the same, we were talking on what if superpowers existed, you mm-hmm. know, kind of how the world would start to change if people start demonstrating such powers. He's kind of bitching about those changes coming into effect in these past 5 years. And while he's complaining and bitching about it, he's not paying attention to the road and goes head forward into a semi.
Oh.
Head on with a semi. And you see the daughter, you know, go flying through the air. She's not wearing your seatbelt. And you see the mom close her eyes. And when she opens her eyes, she's holding her daughter, but she's hovering in the air above the car in the semi.
Oh.
They look down and they can see the dad's like face buried in the steering wheel like he's dead. You realize in that moment you're looking at Hope. This is the character Hope, but you're not watching just her her fanfare or her taking down her villain. You're just seeing what comes after that. After, on the way home from such an event, what happens in their normal lives. In the height of this emergency, she's like, get help. Why is nobody getting help? And everyone's kind of looking at her like, well, you're the enhanced. You're flying. You're the help, you know? Hmm. So she reaches down, picks up her car, and just flies it to the hospital with her husband in it. Says he's unconscious. Help. And he wasn't dead. He's just in a coma, but, you know, clinging to life. And the doctor starts to tell her, you know, I hope you realize what you're leaving this hospital going into. The life you came from will never be the same. You came out of your vehicle and flew your vehicle to the hospital out of your disguise. The world knows you are this person now. You will never have privacy again. You will never have this again. Things you don't think about, I guess, with other superheroes. It was just a really fun read. I'm going to stop there. It gets a little more interesting. There is a hook to keep you coming back. But I don't know. I was happy not to see just some cliche super Supergirl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see those. You do see them out there like a quick gimmick. And this is totally not what I was expecting. Seeing the other side of the coin of the superhero life. So I strongly recommend checking that out. It's called Hope, again, by Dirk Manning and Kaylin Smith on Source Point Press.
Nice.
All right. And with that, there's another girl we've got to talk about, another good superhero girl that I'm really into. And I'm really into the series Geek Girl, brought to us again by our guest here, Sam Johnson. Sam, I want to thank you again for being here and again for letting us look at Geek Girl. I was just talking to Brooke before we got on the show, before you guys even got here, about Geek Girl. And one thing that I've loved, at least that, you know, we had seen up till issue 3, was kind of the comics starting to follow more so the moniker than Ruby Sue. Like, she had been knocked unconscious and the glasses went to her friend Summer. And then for a short period of time, she'd taken on the mantle of Geek Girl. But it looks like it's gone much farther past that. Sam, I'll let you take it up from here.
Yeah, so what happened, I mean, for those that aren't familiar with Geek Girl, the setup is Ruby Kay, a hot popular college chick, lands these pair of super tech glasses. The initial impact of this is they make her super klutzy. She's trying to show them off to her friends, her too cool for school clique, and it kind of alienates them, with the exception of Summer. Summer actually comes up with the idea of her using the power she now has to be a superhero, which is obviously something we'd be familiar with, but in Ruby's world is not something that would naturally have occurred to her. So she kind of stepped up, she became this superhero. Geek Girl was a name given to her, like, throwaway jokingly by someone because of, like, her klutzy actions, spilling drinks over her friends when she's trying to demonstrate her super strength. But yeah, Ruby stepped up, grew as a person from a sort of shallow beginnings to being, you know, a hero, and stop this villain Lightning Storm, who'd come from nowhere and was trashing where they live in Maine. Ruby took her down, but ended up in a coma. So Summer filled in for her while she was in a coma, which is, I think, I don't know how far you've got beyond that point, because Ruby is back. And what this the actual, speaking of Free Comic Book Day, there was a Free Comic Book Day digital which obviously came out for the day, and that is setting up a new direction where this guy Johnny Carlisle, who seems to be a slightly dubious morality, is difficult to know what his motivations are, but basically he's bought Ruby together with some other people to form a thing called the K Foundation, named after her, Ruby K. And the first thing that the K Foundation is going to be doing is introducing a brand new super team headed by Geek Girl. However, for those that know the series, know I like to keep it unpredictable. So what you might expect from that setup is not what's going to be coming.
I love how in the first 4 issues you've already have the good establishment of a universe. You know, typically it takes a lot more to build that up, but just the simple fact, you know, in 1 issue her friend takes on the glasses, I mean, that can imply so much. And now you're saying the formation of a super team led by Ruby, that's going to be incredible to see. And you know, just paves the way for even more characters to come into the light.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I've got going on at the moment is because basically during the course we had a mini series And then the second series, which is the thing where Summer takes on the costume, became, we had a Kickstarter running, and I, part of the intention with that was to build it up, build the audience up enough that we could justify it going, which we did. So now it's ongoing. So what's coming out in the next Kickstarter, which is May 29th, is the 4-issue, the collection of the Crime War arc, where you have Summer in costume initially, and then the next issue where this whole thing kicks in with Johnny Carlisle and the super team. And what's great about having now been able to get it into a state of ongoing is that I had loads of ideas, a lot of which have come from, I often reference Grant Morrison's run on Doom Patrol as my biggest influence. So, you know, how out there that was. And for, I don't know if any of you watching the TV show, because a lot of that is in there in the Doom Patrol TV show. And it's just one of my favourite comics. And it's, as I say, it's an influence in terms of bringing the weird, such as my character, Carver Cheney, voodoo junkie hit woman, who's going to be coming into it. So I've had a lot of sort of weirder ideas that I've developed that I've been waiting to bring to my comics. And now with it ongoing and this new setup, because Johnny Carlisle was actually created some time ago. I'm really excited to be doing this now. So things are going to get weirder and bigger, and it's going to be an interesting journey for Ruby. And you know, Summer is still very much along from the ride, as you can see in the free digital preview comic.
Right, which made me want to ask, and maybe this is just giving too much away, but I hear a lot of reference of Neon Girl too. Is this Summer's new alias by chance?
Neon Girl is like the was kind of the catalyst in the first mini series. Was Lightning Neon Girl is like the resident long term superheroine of where they live in Maine, and Lightning Storm took her down.
That's right.
Yeah, and Ruby was there, and Ruby took her to hospital, and Neon Girl was like, I'm going out of action for a while, you need to stop that bitch. So she then took out Pitbull, who's the big resident superhero of Maine. So it very much put the onus on Ruby, a.k.a. Geek Girl, to step up, which she met. You know, she did step up, but she got put in a coma, so now she's out of it. She's a little bit. She's kind of a view that she's doing this temporarily. I mean, the situation with the coma was she missed. She's a PR student at a college, and she, while doing that, it's missed a semester, so it's got to retake that. All her parents' money kind of went on her medical bills. So the incentive of doing this thing with Johnny Carlisle is the pay, so she can get back to college. So the idea is that this is just a temporary thing for her. I mean, she, you know, she nearly died, and it shook her.
Now, that free sampler that you guys you gave out for Free Comic Book Day, I noticed there were a few different titles in it, one of them being Crime War and then just another School's Out. So, I mean, how do these play in individual issues? Is that how the whole – is that just what issue 4 is going to look like have subtitles within it, or were these just pieces from multiple comics?
Well, it's what it is the, as I say, the arc involving Summer that we talked about is the first 4 issues of the ongoing series, and School's Out is issue 5, beginning a new thing. So the Kickstarter, which is May 29th, is going to have the trade paperback for the first time of the Crime War arc, which is issues 1-4, and then School's Out is the story title of issue 5. So it's kind of cool doing it like that, because it's good for new readers if you want to come in with, you know, the trade paperback, and but if you've already got those individual issues, then you can come on for issue 5.
And that's, I think, the way to do it for many people, get in on the trade. Mm-hmm. I love having a trade, personally. You get that first issue, and then you get to the end, you're hooked. You're like, son of a bitch, I gotta wait another month at least. But, yeah, I love having the trade.
That's, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've read issue 4, but I'm very pleased with the issue the first series, first mini series, and then a cliffhanger. But this is as a real in issue four. There's a thing that like you I guarantee no one sees coming. And thankfully, because issue four came out in January, and no one that I'm aware of has spoilt it. So I was very conscious, like even in the way it was set up that four issue mini series in terms of leaving it ambiguous. Whether Ruby would be coming back to the role of Geek Girl, I was very conscious of what was going on the covers. So, yeah, there's a thing in issue four that is quite a, for me, jaw-dropping. And, yeah, as far as I'm aware, no one has, you know, it's got great reviews, issue four, and none of these reviews gave away this, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it must be a pretty original ending if no one can predict it. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of stuff. That's good writing. And I would be directing people to geekgirlcomics.com to catch up on this. Is there anywhere else, Sam, they should be directed to?
Yeah, well, the Facebook group, Geek Girl, you know, it's always Geek-Girl because there's actually a book called Geek Girl, which is completely unrelated. I came up with the name first.
It's all dibs, right?
Googling it, get that. And also, if you get, because it's all the issues are available on Comixology of the two series, but you've got to get that hyphen in. But yeah, the Facebook group, but also we're running and this isn't up at the website yet because this was initially done as a free comic book day tie-in but possibly by the time this show goes out it will be up at geekgirlcomics.com. We're running this giveaway to a viral giveaway tying in, we've got to say about Doom Patrol, because Doom Patrol's coming back with a new series in July, and as I say, it's my greatest influence, so we're kind of tying the two together, and you can win first off, everyone that enters the contest gets the digital free comic book day Geek Girl, so you get that's brand new, you get that, you don't have to win it, you just get it by entering, but there's a chance to win limited Geek Girl variants, and also the brand new Doom Patrol comic that comes out in July, and also the Grant Morrison thing. There's a sort of giant size trade paperback of Grant Morrison's Weird Ass run on Doom Patrol, and it's got the first 25 issues of it. So that's a really, I mean, this is honestly one of my favourite runs ever. So that is a really, for me, that was a great win if you get that.
And so, yeah, you're a winner just for entering. I mean, just entering, you get a digital copy of the comic. I mean, who's doing that? You can't beat that.
You can't beat it, Jeremy.
You really can't. You really can't. So, yeah, again, that's through the Facebook groups, or where do they go to do that again?
Geekgirlcomics.com. Okay. I mean, as I say, this weekend, I've been completely focused on promoting the free digital comic for Free Comic Book Day. But hopefully, by the time this goes out, geekgirlcomics.com, this giveaway will be quite prevalent. And once you go on the site, you'll see it, you can enter it and get the free one and get the chance of winning the limited variants and the Doom Patrol stuff.
Awesome.
And then we'll just put links to that on our social media and on our Facebook and on our website, all the places that be, and help you get the word out. You've got a good comic here, Sam. Thank you so much for being back with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to candairpodcast.com where you can check out some of our special guests, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, check out some of our YouTube videos, click the merch button and become a patron. And follow the link to Wizard World. If you're going to buy tickets, use Candair as the promo code. Get 10% off.
There it is. And don't forget to check out our other show, What If. You can go to whatifpod.com. Check out the show there, past episodes, or you can find us on your podcast player of choice. If you do search What If, we're the one with the yellow text and blue background. But if you search Candair Productions, you'll get both this and that show by themselves. That's the way to do it, I think. So, and what we're going to do really quick is we're going to have Randy read a few of these reviews from our iTunes location, I guess, our Apple Podcast location, to stay true to what we said at the top of the episode. So what do we have, Randy?
All right. The first review is a 5-star from Psycho5. She says, first podcast. Absolutely love this podcast. Great for listening to when I'm driving to work or working on designs at home. Love the talk of the comics and different forms of art and pop culture.
Wow, that's a lengthy review.
From an artiste, it sounds like.
Yeah.
By the name of Psycho, I mean...
Perfect.
Yeah. I'll take
target
it.
Audience.
Thank you. I will take it.
All right, so the next review I want to read is from Cassie4202, five-star, great show. Love this show, great podcast to listen to on long road trips. If you're into comics or nerd culture, this is the podcast for you. Stop reading and start downloading the episodes now. And that's from Cassie with Saturdays with Chicken Duck.
Oh, very nice. I'm glad they did that.
So
awesome. So, yeah, if you also want to leave us a review, we'll be reading it as soon as we see it right here on the show.
Yep. Give me that shout out.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't like a good shout out? And speaking of which, guys, I don't know if you saw over the past week because I hadn't discussed it with you guys, but we got a really nice tweet. So we got some feedback. We were just tagged in on Twitter from Monica NG, and I'm not sure what her project was. We have talked about their comic in the past, and they left us... Well, they didn't even leave us. They just put a tweet out there saying, I hate to admit this, but this podcast review saved me from giving up when I was living in Ireland last year. And then it has a link to an episode we did where we talk about them. And it says, so remember, if you like the work of an artist, writer, a creator, tell them. Comment, share, always. You can make a difference. I thought that was really sweet.
That's awesome.
Nice shout out of them to
do. That's a pretty powerful thing we did, I think.
Yeah.
Let's pat ourselves on the collective shoulder right now.
Absolutely not involved whatsoever.
Well, I just think it's one, awesome. It really nice to hear something like that. But two,
yeah, it is.
It's makes me feel validated with the comic vault. You know, yeah. Talking about people's comics we find. It does make a little bit of a difference,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, gentlemen, before we stop stroking ourselves here?
We're basically superheroes.
We're pretty awesome. Yep. I think Sam's already hung up, actually. Yeah. But... All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I have a nasty aftertaste in my mouth.
I bet you.
Randy Hardenbrook.
I'm Sam Johnson.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hey everyone, watch me! I'll never learn to jet ski.
And yet you keep trying.
Scarlet!
That's like your sixth try. You obviously don't have any talent. Have you thought of giving up?
Maybe I should just try again.
Maybe you should try listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Well, at least now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Sorry it took me so long to get back to you.
That's okay.
Got a lot of shit going on.
Well, haven't we all, Jeremy? Haven't we all?
Like, you're the only ones doing anything.
That's true.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.